I could only find the music. Where is it? Where are you hiding music? Here it is. Sorry, I'm a little slow. There it is. It was on one of 5,000 tabs. Ben was in the wrong place. All right, good evening, everyone.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
All right, hello everybody. It is Thursday, January the 11th, 2024, Fakeologist Show. We do this show Sunday through Thursday around 8 p.m. We've done a lot of talking today, so I really hope Frank has something to say because I'm really tired of hearing my own voice right now. It's really starting to bug me, get on my last nerve. That guy laughing in the background is Frank the Salt Guy. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Tim.
Wonderful hearing your
dulcet. We've worn you out, have we?
Oh, my gardens. I just got off the Jenna O'Doherty show. We've been talking for almost 3 hours. Luckily, I was not the only guest.
And what did you say?
I said, hello, Gemma, over there in Ireland. How you doing? We had the great Lynn Ertel on. She made her video debut. And we had Fake Nukes Phil on. And Gemma, of course, is the host, the hostess with the mostest. And we talked about 9/11. We talked about PSYOPs. We talked about Hollow Towers. We did a really good show. I really hope everyone listens. It is now live on, not live, it is archived at fakotube.com. Anyone who wants to listen, check her out. And I also did 2 hours with Monsieur... Who did I do it with? Armand Rigg from Portugal.
Right.
And I think we have Benoit coming in here. Hey, Benoit, how you doing? I don't know if he can hear us, but Benoit is there. And I wanted to bring Benoit in so I could play a little bit of a French speech. And I don't know if Benny can hear us. Benny, can you hear us? Benny and the Jets. You got to adjust your audio.
Benny.
You got to adjust the audio on the settings, Benoit. I'm assuming Benoit, he can't unmute. Oh, okay. He probably didn't allow the permissions. Did you? Okay. I'll call him over here. I think I can call him over here. And I don't even know if I can call him over here. Can I call him over here?
Did he come in through Restream?
Well, we're trying to get him in the Restream here, but I'm not sure he can get in there. And why don't we meet, call me here. I don't know. I can't see if I can call him here. I guess because we're not friends. I don't even know what's going on with the Discord. Well, here I can. I can call him. What am I doing here? Hey, Benoit, can you hear me? All right. Hi, Benoit. Can you hear me? Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Okay, I guess the Restream wasn't working for you, so we always have a backup plan.
Yeah, the thing is that Restream wanted me to allow the browser to access my microphone. That was the issue.
Well, yeah, you gotta let it do that there. Anyway, Benoit, if anyone on the live stream doesn't know, he is on our Discord server. He is a valuable member of the Fakeologist Discord community. And he is our Swiss Geneva correspondent. He has a lot of worldly experience. He's never been on a broadcast before, but he's been on many Discords. And he's a donor of the Fakeologist Network as well. Just a real good all-around guy. And if you were ever in Geneva and you need some kind of hookup, I'm sure Benoit can figure it out.
Anything you need, if you are in Geneva, I will provide. Not to throw flour at myself, but
that's all right.
A former member of fakeologist.com was once in Switzerland and we met, and he wanted to find something related to Geneva, and I managed to hook that person up. So anything you need, if you are in Geneva or in Switzerland at large, shit, even Germany, France, or Austria, I'm there.
I thought you were going to say if you were a female fakeologist that you'd sweep them off their feet.
Yeah, okay, not too.
You're the chief romance officer of the fakeologist Discord.
I won't say that, but been there, done that.
Wow. Okay. So that's Benoit. I brought Benoit on tonight because not only does he speak French very well, he speaks English very well, and he's probably a really good translator. Well, I know he's a good translator because he's probably flipping back and forth all the time. And I wanted him to listen to a little bit of a researcher or of a historical figure in Canada called Adrien Arcan. And the reason that's relevant is when I'm as I've told everyone, I'm researching Ernst Zundel. We have Ernst Zundel's videographer on the show on Sunday. And Ernst said that Adrien Arcan changed his worldview, basically flipped him from a German hater to a person who was questioning all of the history in and around the German people in Germany. And Wikipedia has nothing but nasty things to say about this guy, Adrien Arcan. So I thought, well, let me just see if he spoke English ever so I could hear what he had to say. And I couldn't find anything with a cursory look. But there's tons of French stuff. So I thought, well, let me get my friend Benoit, since he was lurking about on the Discord at fake11.com/Discord. And let's see if he has anything interesting to say. And Benoit, you already watched it. And you already found out that he has nothing interesting to say.
Not really nothing interesting to say, but the video I watched, and it's only a 6-minute one about that guy. It's basically someone that is painting that guy as the Oswald Mosley of Canada. And if someone is not familiar with who Oswald Mosley is, he was to paint a very, very, very brush picture. He was the Hitler of the UK. So basically...
So in English, an Englishman would call him Oswald Mosley. Benoit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I cannot say that he was anything like Oswald Mosley, but from the very short video I listened about him, they wanted to paint him as such. But I cannot say for sure.
I never heard of that guy.
That is fascinating. Yeah, the thing that is fascinating is that Oswald Mosley.
Yeah, I've never heard of Oswald Mosley ever. Okay, I'll look him up.
Very famous Englishman.
Right. Yeah, he was. And funnily enough, he's even portrayed in some fictional TV shows, which is called Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders, interesting. I've heard of the show. I don't watch TV, but I know someone in my immediate vicinity that listens.
When I was in Birmingham, which is the place where the Peaky Blinders story is situated,
okay,
I went to the Peaky Blinders pub, and I was out of it in about 2 to 3 minutes. It's an awful place, funnily enough. But to come back to that guy, that Canadian guy, I did not have the time to manage much research about him. But the thing is that there was a lot of fascist movement in many countries during the 30s. So maybe at one point there might have been some very, very big interest for fascism in different places. But as far as I know, it was not something that significant in the sense that, that guy existed, he lived, but...
Fascism is a very harsh word. I think communism, which is... we're told is the opposite, is sort of it's a warmer, more hands together word, even though it has probably it's not such a great way for a society to organize. But fascism, is it really fascism or is it national socialism?
No, exactly. That was what I was about to say. National socialism, which is, if you just take the name of it, it's not a bad thing at all. National Socialism.
Right.
In the name of it. But in the end, it's like everything. It's like Islamism, it's like Christianity or everything. Just get a very good idea and you twist it up enough so that it become evil. But yeah, about that guy, that Canadian guy, honestly, I cannot say much about him really right now.
Well, here he is here. Let's see if he... Oh, this is in English. Wow.
I just found something.
Just like we said.
I can't hear anything, by the way, Tim, if you're playing anything.
Oh, I know why. Oh, that's interesting. You can't hear that at all? Sorry.
No.
Can you hear it now?
It means nationalism.
Yeah.
Control of a nation.
Can you hear it now?
Yep, I can hear it now.
Okay, that's interesting. I had no idea it was blocking the sound. I'm using another system right now. Okay, so he's just here as Adrien. Could you hear that, Benoit?
Yep.
You could
Since
hear
the
that.
Beginning.
Oh, okay, interesting. But oh, that's strange. Okay, well, anyway, he does speak English apparently, and I just found this as I was doing a search. So this is him explaining what fascism is, and I think he's saying sort of what we said. So let me give it a bit more time.
By its nationals. In those years, I had studied mostly history, and I had discovered, with several others, that the First World War had been the beginning of a revolt against the high culture and civilization of the West. The unique result of the First World War had been to implant communism in Russia, the most strategic place in the world, because touching Europe, Near East, and Asia. And it was visible that the Second World War was brewing in order to widen the scope of communism, spread it. And in fact, I still have the writings. I wrote that the Second World War was coming, that it would smash down the empires of the Western world and spread communism much farther on both sides of the world.
Okay. I got to listen to this. This looks pretty good. And this is the guy that turned...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, if I can say something about that, which it kind of strikes me while I was listening, is that this guy is saying, yeah, because of the Weimar Agreement, which is basically the, I don't know if it's Weimar or Versailles, but
Versailles.
Yeah, yeah. Because of the Versailles Agreement, allegedly some things were made wrong, so Germany felt the need to start a war. So I will refer everyone to the end of the First World War, which in the Middle East, some pretty strange border agreements were made. And now, 2024, we can see the results of it. So everybody should be very aware that what we can see right now happening in the Middle East is the result of mainly the English people, how can I say that, infringing on some border rights that they have no... My point is that the British should not have made those borders such as they are. And this is mainly what is causing all this trouble in the Middle East.
Well, I don't know. You think it's just the borders?
Mainly. It's not only that, because, of course, there is a religious component to it. But as I see it, if those people were left to their own destiny and decide what they really wanted to do, this would have probably gone better.
And the same thing happened in India, of course. The creation of Pakistan and East Pakistan.
Yeah, or after World War II, even closer to me, in the Balkans. I mean, they create a country, Yugoslavia, that wasn't fucking existed before. And all those people have absolutely no real connection to each other, and they were really scattered. So the first time they managed to have a chance to exercise the right to autonomy, they did, rightly so, by the way. But most of the time, when the power that be traces the border of a country, it's getting bad in the end.
So essentially, we are confirming the views of Jan Erik that it's the Phoenicians in England that are, well, that were in England, who knows where they are now, that set the whole thing up. They sowed the seeds of our defeat.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
All right. Well, you sound like you're in the middle of something, Benoit, but I appreciate you coming on. I didn't need your trans. Well, you already watched the 6-minute video that I sent, so that's fantastic. And you, it was just a sort of a mainstream media piece on the guy, and I guess it ended up being a bit of a hit piece.
Definitely a hit piece.
Yeah, the media, the people that control the media, they don't like National Socialism at all.
Why? But yeah, it's not that I'm a National Socialist myself, but well, you get to admit that those people get some ideas right.
Well, we can't really know much about it because we're not told anything about it. We're kept away from it, that's all. And I'm not going back. I just think that if we want to make a good future, we have to know all the options. So what is it that is so absolutely terrible about this system that we can't?
I think that that this is the issue with National Socialism, is that either you will find people that will say that it's the worst and that it's genocidal and everything, or you will find some assholes that are all about it, but you really will have a hard time finding the middle ground or an honest opinion on that political system.
That's because most people don't know anything about it. The people that are out there representing it are the extreme sort of violent, crazy people that are just smearing it. So we
cartoon characters.
Pardon me?
Cartoon characters.
They're cartoon characters that are trying to keep people from looking that way. And when I am told not to look a certain way, I want to look that way and get the truth, because I think the truth is always inverted. And that's really what Ernst Zundel was doing. This Adrian Arcand was a bit of an intellectual, was the one that turned his world upside down. And I just thought there are parallels with my fakeologist journey that my worldview was turned upside down for different reasons and different by different people.
Now, it's interesting that I was listening to a much less fakeologist-style broadcast called Academic Agent this week.
Mm-hmm.
And this very topic was part of their discussions.
Okay.
And they talked about a number of films and so on that were put out during the propaganda period of from 1933 onwards.
Okay.
And it is interesting to observe that there were very strong anti-Jewish propaganda right from the start, and that people would understand that came from the view that the Jewish people or Jewish people betrayed Germany, the ones that came in from Russia,
right?
And so the ground, everything seems to, all the seeds were sown very precisely. You know, the idea that this is all a comedy of errors, I think, is been clearly demonstrated to be false in this case. You know, every place, every piece was moved in. You know, really the Jewish people that the Germans were concerned about were actually from Russia, who had been given a safe haven when they fled the communist takeover.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. So If anyone's interested in that, Academic Agent is a an English show.
Is that a podcast?
It's a podcast, yeah, on YouTube. I'll put a link to it.
Okay, put a link in the chat, and we will find it here.
One thing I have to add about my lips is that...
You're hard to hear. Can you get a little closer to the mic, Benoit? Sorry, I think my something's beeping. Oh, wait, Cupcake is calling. Okay, how is she calling me is the question.
Yeah, so just my last sentence of the night is that from my French speaking perspective, back then when I was a kid, there was a lot more humor about national socialism than there is in the world right now. Okay. And that was my last contribution of the night. Thank you, everyone, and donate to fakeologies.com. It's working. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Benoit. Thank you very much. I know it was up late. Always good to hear from Benoit. I think Awake Cupcake is trying to call me on FakoTube. We haven't even tested the audio on FakoTube. And I'm not sure.
Give it a try.
Yeah, I'm trying to, but now it's not ringing anymore.
I can hear it ringing.
Yeah, it was ringing here. Let's just see. I was just trying to download something here. Let's see if it comes in over here. Awake Cupcake, if you're trying to phone, I can see if I can answer it. And I'm not sure if it can. Now it's ringing like crazy over here. I'm going to close this tab here. It's funny. Okay, I can't see any call coming in, so I can't answer it because I don't know where it's ringing. So I'm going to have to mute
it. It's not Skype or something, is it?
No, it is actually FakoTube has a chat feature, and I just don't know how to bring it. You put a link to the restream there.
Yeah, that was for me. That's all. Because my link is too far away.
Okay, so we're gonna put
the link to Academic Agent. I put in the restream in the private chat.
Okay,
that was to Academic Agent.
Welcome to the Academic Agent. If you're watching this,
okay, which show was it?
I'm not sure. I think it was about the
members only video.
I think it was the retrospective. Oh, no, it must have been Vax Guide 2 Destroys Big Mop. No, I'd have to check it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And thank you very much, Benoit. It was a good chat. Thank you, sir. Okay. Well, the main show, yeah, if you can figure it out, I will put this in the show notes. If you can figure out what show it was, that would be good. Sensibly Centered is Academic Agent Retrospective 17.
From idea to submission, empower students to do their best work with Grammarly's generative AI. What if they could jumpstart ideas for any assignment?
Oh, I see. Normally, I am logged in. I see what's going on here. Now I see Benoit's coming back. Are you coming back, Benoit?
All right. So welcome to another Academic Agent retrospective. This is volume 17. It's called Sensibly Centered, and it chronicles the genesis of the sensible center kind of movement or framing that I talked about.
How did you get hooked up to this broadcast, Frank?
I don't remember. Probably a suggestion. And the one I listened to was right up my alley.
Okay. Benoit, are you trying to get back in the chat? I think it's coming. I think he's trying to get in accidentally here. So we will ignore him. All right, so we did a show today with Gemma O'Doherty that was 2 hours, and we had Lynn on and Fake Nukes Phil. I suggest everyone go to fakeotube.com and have a gander at that. It's also,
I got the impression that you managed to avoid your getting your face on video again.
Well, it wouldn't have been on, really, because I was busy doing my job, so it wouldn't have been centered properly. You would have seen the side of my head or something, so... Huh? Nothing to see. I know Lynn Ertel made her great debut there. And by the way, I'm also using Chatango over here at fakeologist.chattango.com. If anyone wants to use that, you can come over there and do a chat. And of course, we have, Benoit, if you don't mind listening to the stream at fake11.com/stream1. Because it keeps making a noise here on the restream. So fake11.com/stream1. That's our audio, if you can remember that. And, so we did a chat today with Mr. Armand Rigg. And what else you got today, Frank? You got anything on your agenda?
No, I haven't. I've got nothing on my agenda. I was just thinking, is it the calm before the storm? What's going on? My life is just a dream.
All right. Sorry. I don't know where that's coming in now.
Wait, what's coming in?
Oh, you didn't hear that noise?
I heard nothing.
Did you hear that noise?
Nope.
Okay, interesting. I don't know what's coming in. Let me look around here.
I was enjoying the audio chats this week. I mean, it was great to hear Velocette back in town.
Which chat was that?
So, Velocette, you were giving Velocette a hard time about not bringing his wife over to Australia.
Okay.
Probably after the when I left the chat. This must have been later when I left the chat. And... who else was on there? It was Typo Error, Chris, and yourself. And you were giving Velocette a very hard time about the fact that he hadn't brought his wife over. And you were giving him very, very firm advice about how to live his life.
Yes. Well, he asked for it. I gave it to him. Sorry about that, everyone that can hear that ringing. It's amazing that Frank can't hear it, so I
cannot hear it at all. It's not coming through on the
hilarious
on the restream.
I know all the other people can hear it, so just give me that means if you can't hear it on the restream, I'm going to close this window here, see if that works. Okay, it looks like I got rid of it. Okay, sorry about that, Frank. You're still there.
I'm still here.
Okay.
I was expecting the latest mortality statistics to have arrived, but they have not arrived yet.
Okay.
So I guess I can only hold off it. But you know, by mid-month it's normally out, but I guess it is the Christmas period.
Okay.
I've been listening to Dr. John Campbell do his usual complete backflip.
Okay, he's done another backflip. Boy, he can sure flip.
No, I'm just talking about the, you know, now it's as if he had never ever ever told people to trust the government and just go and get these jabs. It's just so outrageous now.
He's rewriting history.
Rewriting history. It is beyond the beyonds, really. No humility in the man at all. Yeah.
Okay.
Quite crazy.
All right. What else have you learned what else are you listening to? Yeah, the audio chats. We have at least 24 hours worth of audio chats.
And I haven't been able to keep up with all of them, but they've all been great, really worth it.
Me neither, but they're all for free there. Sorry, guys. I'm just trying to open up this, the tabs, and I had to get rid of the noise, but you guys couldn't hear it, which is, I'm just not sure why. I guess it's because I don't share the audio on the tabs. It's probably what it is, but I can hear the audio. That was bizarre to me.
It's a mystery.
If you want to call in, fake11.com/restream, that joins the studio. I think Awake Cupcake, you were trying to call, but I couldn't answer it because I couldn't see where the phone was ringing. So I don't know what happened there.
So the other things of interest for me have been there's legislation introduced to bring a digital ID into Australia, and that has got to be, we've got to respond by the 19th of this month. So anyone listening from Australia that is interested in pursuing political action about the digital ID, you can get that through the Know Your Rights website or through Constitution Watch, a link to make a join a what do you call it, a popular, I keep forgetting what it is, the name of it.
Okay.
Where you plead your case, ask the politicians not to proceed with this digital ID. I think a better idea is to send my will letters to your MPs saying that your will is that they do not, that they vote against the bill. If you're interested in taking a political model seriously.
Okay, a caller in, or where are you calling from and what's your first name?
Calling from Florida. This is Willard.
Willard, hello. Say hi to Frank.
Hi, Willard. I've seen you many times on the chat, but a long time ago. I haven't heard from you from a long time. If you're the same Willard.
Yes, I am. And you brought up the point I wanted to make. If you remember a long time ago, Chris Kendall, you used to be in the chat about 10 years ago on his show.
Yeah.
And he got to talking about musicians, you know, with David Bowie, etc. during the time period. And you mentioned the chat regarding the celebrities and music industry. If you used a word called Nahash or Nakash.
Nakash, which is the... which is the, I guess, the original Hebrew word for the serpent at the garden.
Okay. Do you remember the point you were making regarding what he was saying about the celebrities? Because what I'm getting at is that Chris was saying, you know, we don't know where these people come from or what, where they get their ideas and their inspiration from, really.
Yes.
And you used that word in that context, and I was thinking...
Well, it may have been to do... I mean, around that time, if I remember rightly, there was a clip of Bob Dylan going around where he was talking about how he had to sign a pact or sign an agreement with the chief general.
Right. Yeah, Chief Commander. That was on 60.
Chief Commander. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I'd like to get your response to this idea is, you know, Alex Jones, right?
Prince so Michael you, of something or other, Auschwitz Schlotzenberg or something. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. You take a character like him, and then let's say there's Hannity and Tucker Carlson. Okay, I've listened to those guys. Now, Hannity and Carlson, to me, are just, you know, regular, like, flex. But when I first listened to Alex Jones, I was really struck by, you know, I realized he was controlled opposition. But, you know, he has, like, a wit or a certain quality of entertainment about him, a certain – because he can go for 3 hours and, you know, say some really entertaining things.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you thought maybe – this same spirit was at work in a character like him, or where his origins may have come from, because he comes from a Freemasonic family, an old family in Texas.
Well, I guess in my view, there are, I guess in my world, there are fallen angels in the world. It's possible that he could be one of them. You know, we're talking about the very super talented super people.
Exactly.
Are they actual stars? Are they, you know, the stars that fell from heaven are the ones that we're told landed at Mount Hermon and made a pact to undo the work of God. Is it?
Yes, because there's something. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And so the idea of what you're talking about is consistent with that model. So I bear that model in mind when I do that. When I think about who these people that are stars, you know, I think we're being told that they are stars. They are literally stars.
I'm surprised. Okay, thanks, because you understand what I'm driving at. He has a certain quality about him that sets him apart from some of these other people.
One of the mysteries to me about that man is how can he talk with that gravelly voice?
Yeah, that is strange.
For hour after hour after hour. I mean, most people, you know, I sing a lot, do a lot of karaoke. If I try and hold that voice for more than a couple of words, I won't be able to talk for 2 days.
And same with Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, RFK Jr.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
He is the same. Not stressful to talk, but it sounds like it's stressful.
It's stressful to hear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's in. The times when I hear Robert F. Kennedy Jr. speak, I feel like a spell is being cast on me to be downtrodden. And, you know, he's got that kind of, you're all being beaten down by the jabs. And if you elect me, it's really just too much.
Yeah, interesting point. That's a good point. Ab, I wanted to mention to you mentioned Naples, Florida.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Miramar outlets by Bonita Springs. It's kind of a Tony area by Naples, a shopping area.
Okay.
But last night when Rick was saying about people faking the deaths, what happened to them? A couple years ago, after Jose Fernandez, the pitcher on the Miami Marlins, died in a boat accident. I think Russian Vid had videos out saying he faked his death. He died at 3:30, etc. That was during the summer. Well, on Black Friday, in the middle of the night, I was in that mall in a Bath and Body and Beyond store, and I saw a guy who was exactly a spitting image of Jose Fernandez. I'd seen the guy pitch for a couple years. I know what the guy looks like. I saw him in person in the middle of the night in the store. And my point is, I would say to Rick, so what would we do with it? What am I supposed to do with that? What am I supposed to say? If that's really him, who do I tell? Or what happens?
Exactly. You call into this show, but this show wasn't on at the time.
Yeah. Exactly.
And we would be the only ones in the whole world that believed you.
Yeah.
Nobody else would. Yeah. See, that is the point.
Exactly.
There is no...
Well, even more than that, we're probably the only people that would understand the significance of it, of him being told that the guy's alive. Everyone else would just go, oh, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jose would just say, well, I get a lot of that, you know, and if I persisted, people would think I was being rude to him.
What are you supposed to do? Hit him over the head with a baseball bat or say, hey, here, let me throw you a ball. Can you throw that at the wall? I want to see how you throw. And then maybe get a radar gun out and clock the speed of the pitch. If it was over 60 miles an hour, you know it's the real guy. Although
I mean, it was uncanny.
They throw at 100 miles an hour now, from what we're told.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous. And just one last point. Have you always mentioned how when they do things, you believe they do it legally, you know, in ways that, you know, they can't get.
Well, that's probably more me than Ab, I think. But yeah.
No, I said that too.
Did? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, I remember when you fellas first brought that up regarding the Beatles, in their original contract, if you look it up online at Sotheby's, the original contract in Clause G, it says right there that the Beatles, the guys, the four guys, would pay for other people, other performers that would act like them in performances. So it's right there in the contract that there would be other people who would perform under their name at other performances. So there's an example of a legal document to cover, you know, when people say things like, well, there's a couple of McCartneys or two John Lennons.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting fact.
That is very interesting. Where did you read that?
It's in the contract. I have a PDF of it, but I can't. I've been trying to upload it to your site.
Email it to me.
Okay, at imafakeologist.com. Okay.
You got it. Well, are you on the Fakeologist forums?
I go to it, but I don't think I'm logged in to post.
Okay, well, you can log in, create an account under Willard, and I'll approve it. And email it to me first, and then...
Sure.
Log into the forums. I'll show everyone the forums now. Fakeologist forums. Here we go. These are the Fakeologist forums. And you can log in and find a place for it. Let me think here. Let's see. Where would the Beatles stuff go? I have a number of topics here. And if you can't find a specific landing page for it, just put it under chat and then I'll move it later and we can start a topic on it. It's a very, very interesting though. Yeah, that's some very good stuff, Willard. Yeah, tell me a little more. You used to be... sorry, Frank. Go.
No, go ahead. It's all right. I can come back.
I know, Frank. So, Willard, you go way back to Hoaxbusters. I remember seeing you in the chat over there.
Yeah, I used to chat to Willard in the notes with when I was on the... You know, because one of the great things that Talkshoe has is that ability to, you know, get in and chat while people are talking.
Well, we have that at fakeologist.chattango.com.
Yeah, there was only one place. There was the Talkshoe place, and
yeah, it was all central. I know.
Yeah, so that was quite good, and Willard and I would exchange quite a lot, really, by memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when Sandy Hook happened, I first came across your site, and you were just assembling it, you know, because I would go and it would change, like episode one, episode two, and you're putting it together, and you had Simon Shack on.
Yeah.
And then that got my attention because there was something about Sandy Hook. I just knew there's something off here. You know, it's that old saying, the animals are crashing in the forest, but you don't know what they are. You can hear the sound. And you had Chris Kendall on, I think it was like episode six or something, real early. And I just connected with him because his experience mirrored mine, you know, my journey. And so then I went to Hoaxbusters, and I got into the chat, and Chris was really cool. I mean, I emailed him a bunch of times and sent him material, and I just thought he was a great guy. So that's where I got started. And your explanation of a psychological operation, to me, it answered the questions I had about the Manson case and JFK, because I studied them both deeply, and there was an elastic feature to it where the plots would change depending on, you know, your bias. Oh, it was this, or it was this, or this. I thought to myself, how can all this fit together? How can this all be? But as you said, well, if it's a psychological operation, you're writing the script, it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, just like you at the point you're making about the video yesterday, it's 100% sure. If they're going to fake the assassination in Dealey Plaza, you got nothing to worry about. You don't got to worry about somebody getting cold feet or somebody not being in the right place. It's going to work that day because it's just shadow play.
Because there's nothing happening.
Nothing can go wrong. Yeah. Yeah. And then you throw in, the grassy knoll and all these other things, and everybody gets excited over them, and you have these hired flacks, these operatives, to keep everybody confused. And that's it. Same thing with the Manson case. You know, with Rick was saying about why Sharon Tate and Sebring would give up. A key to understanding these things is once you look at it, because you mentioned about the importance of studying something deeply, a certain case. When you look at, say, the Manson case, and you begin to see all these connections among the people, well, that's how you know it's an intelligence operation. You know, it's not coincidences. These people are put there. And they're not just ordinary people. I mean, Squeaky Fromm, she was in the White House and was on Lawrence Welk. You know, she's not some runaway kid, you know, and Sebring and who was it, Watson? They both were hairdressers, but that's just what we're told. You know, Joe Atwell himself talked about the concept of a lifelong actor.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, these operatives, that's what they do. And so Sharon Tate, if you watch her film, she wasn't a very good actress. So who knows if she was just selected and she's a lifelong actor, as Joe Atwood would say.
Well, we remember that we're talking, you know, if we talk about the people that appear in the Disney films, they are there right from birth.
Yes.
You know, Katy Perry was, by memory, it serves me right, Katy Perry, et cetera. Those girls were, you know, junior Mouseketeers and then just onwards and upwards in all the TV shows. Selected from birth. There's no meritocracy going on at all. It's royalty putting their own children into the movies.
Yeah. And as Abbas mentioned with these characters, you know, we're told what their bios or legends are. And if y'all remember, there's a director named Hal Ashby from the 70s. He did The Last Detail and Coming Home and that sort of thing. Well, I read his biography, and the biographer talks about how what the public knew about the guy was just what the studios presented to them. It's like a legend in an intelligence operation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they would say, oh, he took an interest in film and he went to school and did this, and it's all made up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think Chris Kendall was the one that said, with these actors, when they're on TV and they give us their bios, how do we know they're not acting? It's just a made up story about them. And with Hal Ashby, it was all made up.
Yeah.
So I don't know Jay Stephen cut hair. How am I supposed to know that? Did he? There's some that say he was a drug dealer. That's where he got his money from. So there's just people we don't know.
We don't know anything. I agree. We don't know anything about them.
No. And then we're told about the improbability of these things. And when you look at it, you know, you don't got to go to some exotic place. You could hang out in Toronto, for heaven's sake. Nobody's going to wear your hair a certain way, talk a certain way, and there you go.
Put on sunglasses and a hat. You're undercover, right, like that.
You are. And that is exactly what happens. They just do that, and they basically vanish. Because people will not trust their own senses. Am I really seeing John F. Kennedy?
And how many would actually have the guts to walk up to anybody, let alone a celebrity, and say, excuse me? Most people are super, super shy and private, and they just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Even if you saw someone at a restaurant with an entourage, would you even go up and say, can I get an autograph? It takes a level of courage to do that, I would say, or even audacity, really.
Yeah. And there was someone on a Saturday chat that was over in the east coast of Florida that said he was in a hotel bar, and I think it was Hank Williams Jr. sitting in a corner in a booth.
Yeah, we heard that. Yeah, I remember that story.
Yeah, and he goes up to him and said, hey, Mr. Williams, sorry to bother you. I'm a big fan of yours. I really enjoyed the concert tonight. May I have an autograph? And he said, what are you talking about? I'm not Hank Williams. He said, sure you are. The guy pulls out a license, and it said John Smith. That's all it would take.
Yeah.
Yep.
We heard that, yeah.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry for the confusion. Yeah.
Willard, you've been this Hoaxbusters fakeologist community a long time. What keeps you interested?
Well, that's a good question.
Because you keep coming back.
It's just fascinating how the deception. It's like you said, you know, and SMJ said that, you know, it's deeper than we think, and it's just the way it is. And yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
I want to answer that question, Tim, because in my case, I've got nowhere else to go that I can find.
Well, you go to the bar.
and guess what? I do that.
Yeah.
But it is a kind of a fact that, as far as I can tell, this site's the only one that isn't really just saying, okay, we'll block a particular line of investigation. Although you may be accused of doing that. I haven't experienced that, other than being banned 15 times for my Dallas Goldbug affection. But, you know, you've even overcome that.
Yeah. Well, you're not the only one that keeps that going. Believe me, we had that fake Nukes was talking about it yesterday.
I love him in that case. Even though I'm not allowed to love him for his views on marriage.
Hey, that's funny.
Yeah, it's interesting how, like you said, Ab, about the progression of Jim Rizzoli, and I really like his open-mindedness. But honestly, to answer your question, we're really, because I'm in my 60s now.
Yeah.
The idea that people live in fear and spend their lives in fear, and it's nothing to be afraid of. It's not there. You know, that it used to be I'd want to find out something to convince somebody, you know, point something out to get them to see it.
Yeah.
But it's not like that. You can't, it's psychological or it's spiritual. You know, you can't convince the people, but if I can somehow get somebody to realize, look, you're chasing after phantoms, it's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
Because that's what they use on us.
And and also they use the fear of death, as you alluded to, Willard. I mean, in the end, we're all going to die.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, the Bible says in their space, people won't love the truth. And where the truth is, you'll find God. And God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. And, you know, he has a purpose in our life and a plan for us. But the enemy, as Mr. E points out, you know, seeks to deceive us and wants us to live in fear.
Yes.
You know, it gives like the energy you're saying with Robert Kennedy Jr. You're giving your leash to these people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like the story of Rumpelstiltskin. You know, if you can name it and identify it, it loses its power. And so I'm just glad you're out there, Ab. That's all I can tell you. Because it's all like right. SMJ said when he came across you, finally, there's a guy that knows what's going on.
Yeah, and the irony is now he's left. He got mad.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him in a long time.
He got mad. Oh, took his toys home. Oh well.
Oh, don't be so sensitive, SMJ. If you're listening, don't be so sensitive.
Exactly. Come on, man.
I think it's okay to be sensitive, but you know, sometimes, none of us are happy that SMJ left. I mean, he is just a stellar contributor.
We like the guy.
Yes, yeah, he's a great guy.
Happy to metaphorically go down on bended knee, you know, for him to come back.
He was one of a kind. He's a great guy. I mean, you take him and Chris Kendall, and come on, man.
now, Willard, while you're there, have you listened to any of Mike Williams talking about the Beatles?
No, I've never heard. I don't know anything about him.
I'm going to put a link that'll end up in these things. But Mike Williams tears the Beatles story to pieces. Very, very interesting.
I have to look into it because, you know, it's the principle of the thing where you take a subject or a topic that's popular among people and then, whether it's nuclear weapons or an assassin, whatever these psychological operations are.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, you can apply to these other cases and say, wait a minute, they're pulling our leg here. We're being manipulated.
Yeah.
And with the Beatles, it's one thing, but when they start making kids afraid to go to school, you know, I mean, come on, man. Or people getting, I was in an airport one time and a family member saw a pillow sitting over on a chair and wanted me to ask me if they should notify security, might be a bomb under it, you know?
Yeah.
The matches from TV, there's no bomb there. There's no terrorism.
That's terrible. Everyone is so afraid.
Yeah. And if they could somehow adopt a some kind of counteroffensive against vaccines or you know, because some of the stuff is real and serious. You know, you know, I mean, Fauci comes out and says, oh, yeah, we just were, you know, social distancing. We just made it up. And yeah, they come out. It has real life consequences, as you guys said.
You know anyone that's died or been injured by the vaccine?
I'm going to dodge that question. I'm going to dodge it. I've heard anecdotes, but. I'd rather just dodge the question.
That's fine.
Yeah. I'm glad you do what you do, though. I'll tell you that much.
We're a no pressure platform, but you can call in Monday nights. That's where we take those calls. If you figure out that you have an idea about who might have done it, or if you want to rather describe your stories. That's our anecdote line on Mondays. Not everyone agrees with it, but I think it's worthwhile talking.
How did that show go, by the way?
I thought it went well. Wait, Cupcake did a great job. She had a great time. And that's at allshotsclot.com. And if you want to find that audio, go to FakoTube or just go to your favorite podcast player, like Podcast Addict, and type in All Shots Clot. All right, Willard, great call.
Well, thank you. Keep doing what y'all are doing. Glad you're all there. Really enjoy listening to y'all.
Thank you very much for calling in, and good luck down in Collier County there.
Thank you. You're welcome. Good night.
All right, good night.
Good night, Willard.
We got Diana calling in. Diana just let the phone ring, and you will get through. And Frank, you sent me something else. Sort of a slower pace tonight. Guys, FACO, what is it called? Fakeologist.chattango.com. Hello, caller.
Hi, Ab and Frank. It's Diana. How are you?
We're
well, Diana. Thank you for your emails.
Thank you, guys.
And sorry, we've got Dingo Baby in the green room. So we'll say hi to Dingo Baby as well. But Dingo Baby, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Is my microphone better this time?
Yeah, you're pretty good. Thanks a lot.
Is it too late? Is it loud enough?
No, it's good. But first, we're going to talk to Diana.
No problem.
She called first. I wasn't sure. I just wanted to get you in there before we close out the show. So, Diana, go for it.
Hey, I wanted to talk to Frank about Loosh because I just recently learned about that maybe a year or so ago. But I had, I think, a live experience with it probably 20 years ago when I was working as a consultant in Washington, D.C. for Mathematica. It's like a company that...
I know Mathematica, yeah.
You do? Wow. It's in Washington, and I was taking the place of a federal worker at the Department of Labor. She was retiring after many years, and they were in this phase where they would hire consultants instead of bring in federal workers, because I guess their philosophy was the consultants were sort of like getting the job done more than, you know, than anyway. I was working on this project for tax reporting for pension plans. And I went out to Kansas to do an audit, a yearly audit for the first time. And something wasn't working right. It was just a normal thing that you test the system, you know, these data elements are working correctly. And so I came back, and I was new to Mathematica, and I wrote just a summary of the process, what happened, and that, you know, this wasn't working correctly, and this is what we're going to do. It was probably about a paragraph long. And the lady that was retiring from the Department of Labor, her name was Mary, and I gave it to her first because I was new and I wanted her to read over it. And then she hands it to her boss, and she got pissed when I wrote about it. I didn't name names. It was my own Mathematica people that hadn't, you know, like, programmed certain things correctly. And it'd been going on for about 3 years, but I didn't do it to look bad. I just was very low key about it. Just saying, this is, looks like what happened. This is what we're going to do to correct it. And she said, damn it. 'Cause she was leaving. She's like, I don't want to deal with this shit when I'm leaving. And then she said to me, you have to learn to write things so he, talking about her boss, doesn't know there's a problem. Like, so I'm supposed to learn to write that they don't know.
Welcome to my world.
Man, exactly. The man, I don't know why he was still actually working. He was like in his late 70s. I'm sure he's paid very, very well at the department, but he was still there. So I know that he probably wasn't really there, you know, like now that I look back and stuff. But she said, you have to write stuff like that so he can't figure out that there's a problem. And so I didn't hand it in. I listened to Mary. And then, of course, a day later, I got fired. And that was the first time I'd ever been fired before. I got called in because I was on site at the Department of Labor. Mathematica was at, you know, a couple blocks over.
Yeah.
And when I went there, you know, they didn't tell me what was happening. They just said, I forget what the guy's name, who was like my boss's boss, wanted to see me. And then, because I was only there, like, I think 3 months, and he said that they didn't say why I was being let go, but I had never been fired before. And in the U.S., you can get fired for anything. Like, it doesn't matter if you're great at your job or not. But when I was leaving, I was completely discombobulated because I was never fired before. I didn't do anything wrong. And I was crying, and I was in Washington, D.C. It was, like, filled with people. I think I was in L'Enfant Plaza, like, talking to my friend on my phone, completely in tears and, like, you know, completely, like, out of my mind, like, what just happened to me. Then I wasn't going to go down this escalator because it was a huge one that goes really deep into the metro.
And you had 16 tails on.
Yeah, I knew I'd lose my friend on my cell phone if I went down, as soon as I went down. So I was still talking to them before I went down the escalator. But all of a sudden, that from the escalator comes this echoing, "God loves you." And it was like this massive, I mean, it's very active there, very noisy. I looked down because I didn't think it was to me. And I looked down the escalator, and there's all these people going forward facing, because it's so deep and fast that it's even dangerous to, like, turn around and look back up. But there was this one guy looking back up at me from down, and there's tons and tons of people. And he was looking right at me because I was looking down into the escalator. I forget what it's called, like the well or something, but he was looking right at me. So he met eyes with me, and then I was still on the phone talking to my friend, and I still didn't connect that it was to me. Like I was looking right at him. He was looking at me. I know it was him that yelled that. And then he went down and he continued to look back at me physically. I was defying, like, being able to do it. So then I took the train home. I went home to bed. I fell asleep, and I slept deeper than I'd ever slept almost in my life. And I can't believe it, because I'd been fired and I had moved for the job and everything. But that night I had a dream. Something was behind me, like spooning me, something huge and black, like probably like a figure that wasn't a person, but like a form. And it was, it didn't touch me, but it was like behind me, like how you would spoon in bed with someone, but it didn't physically touch me. But it was massive. It was like a big black form. And I think it took loose for me because it made me exhausted. I slept the whole night through. And at first I thought it was from God because of that, that I feel like there was like a spirit that comforted me. Like a spirit was yelling, "God loves you." Like I think for sure that was for me. Like now, at the time, I didn't put two and two together, but as I reflected on it several days later, but I feel like God sent me something to comfort me from what happened. And I think it was like an angel, because it was a very, it was like a blonde, a beautiful, like, man, but like not, you know, like not like a movie star type thing. It was just like a beautiful person that was loud. The voice was so loud. And then looking right. And then I had that strange dream, but I thought it was an angel that slept next to me at night to comfort me because I didn't have fear that evening. But now I wonder if it was like loose, you know, like something crazy. But I just wanted to ask you what you thought of that.
Yeah, no, I well, first of all, on your sacking and the, you know, and the, you just doing something that you think is normal that turns out to be some, you know, major crisis for the company. That has been my working life, really. I think that happens in large companies all the time.
Yeah, it's not like the movies where, like, Julia Roberts comes in, points out something wrong, and everything's good. It's the exact opposite. You do that, and you're gone.
Well, it's not even a case of that. You don't even know you're doing something weird. You know, as far as you were concerned, you were told to head off and try and sort out this problem that this client's having, and you did an analysis of how to fix the problem. Put the report in about how to fix the problem, and so everything should have been fine. But it was the reverse effect that occurred. For some reason, just trying to fix the problem is too much admission of something or other. We don't even know. We don't know what the circumstances are. But it causes craziness.
It does. And it's so funny because the people there this is my first job where it was kind of like questionable workers and stuff. And they had huge cubicles, the kind where you'd stand up and still people couldn't see you, but they were still cubicles. And everyone had like mini refrigerators and like microwaves inside their own like that's what they spent their days on, like figuring out how could they get, because this is after 9/11. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was after like bombing, so they had trouble getting things like that into the building afterwards. But yeah, they didn't spend their days working hard. Like that was my first entry into hard working and success do not equal each other in the real world. Like there,
nothing like it. Yeah.
No, there's no correlation at all. It's usually about who you know, how good you are about being sly and stuff, and you align yourself with and stuff. But yeah, my coworkers, their job was spent trying to figure out how they could get mini fridges into their cubicles and stuff like that. Like instead of actually work, and they're still there. I'm sure they're like super wealthy.
They're the survivors, 100%.
Hey, Diane, I hate to break it up, but I want to get Dingo a mention, but thank you so much for your call. Yes. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Take care, guys.
Just one thing, Diane, before I go. I mean, it's that thing you're talking about is the reason why I pray. And since I started doing that praying, all of that has disappeared from my life.
That's great. I heard you say you pray the Our Father twice a day now.
Innumerable times.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a good prayer. I do it in Latin now, too.
Frank, you got to pick up your game and do it in Latin.
Yeah. I just challenge you, Frank.
But I think the only Latin I know is nil illegitimus carborundum.
I sent you a Latin English guide. It has
you did, yes.
In there.
And I can say ego sum discipulus bonus.
Which means?
What does that mean?
I'm a good student.
Good.
Well, nil illegitimus carborundum is a joke Latin for don't let the bastards grind you down.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Gemma. Have a great one.
Diana.
Diana, not Jenna. And Gemma told me I should go to a Latin mass. She said I'd be a good Catholic. So there you go.
I'm not sure that's a compliment, Tim.
I have no idea what it meant. I just said, you know, I think it's a little late to make a switch right now. I think I'll just stick to my, I don't know what the hell I am. Dingo, you waited a bit. Go for it, buddy. Where are you calling from again?
Somewhere in North America.
Oh, please narrow it down a little bit. Okay. You're like Calm Card Ken. He's from somewhere out there, but
I'm calling
look, from just Alberta. Because you're paranoid, it doesn't mean people are not out to get you. That's all I can say.
You're not logging my IP address, are you? No, I'm just joking. I'm calling from Edmonton, actually.
Oh, you're a Canuck. No wonder you didn't want to admit it. What's the temperature in Edmonton?
The coal mining capital of the world.
It's so cold that you probably don't even want to know. It's minus 40.
No, it's not.
Yeah, pretty much right now. Yeah.
And you're not allowed to burn your own coal, are you?
Well, they have black women here, if that's what you mean.
No, Frank was literal. He wanted to know.
They don't want you to burn wood or anything, I'm sure. But yeah.
Your state is one of the biggest producers of coking and burning and
I know
thermal coal in the world.
Oh boy, that's a story.
Negative 32. You're right. It feels like negative 40. Wow, that is insane. That's not
minus 40 so tonight.
You've got to go to the world's largest shopping center in 1919 and slide down into the pool.
Well, I have been to Miramar Outlets.
That's in Bonita Springs, he said.
It is, yeah. But that's another story. Okay, but
yeah, you've got a lot of stories. You've
storyteller. Extraordinaire.
Well, I got a doozy for you here. Well, I don't know where to start because, yeah, I could.
You could fill a show. I think you want to do a show.
In the beginning, there was Edmonton.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sent a lot of stuff. How long have you been in conspiracy? I don't think we got your background.
2019.
Oh, okay.
And then, well, I mean, I'm a student of, I'm a deep looker, so.
Okay.
And probably
I'm a shallow looker.
A million pages of reading, but. Well, I got a doozy for you, and it was what you had mentioned before, and that's kind of why I thought, oh, it'll be interesting to call in. So are you familiar with the conspiracy theory of Alex Jones's Bill Hicks?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a non-believer in that one, by the way.
Okay. I just pasted this thing here.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer either, honestly.
Okay. I pasted the link. Okay.
Yeah, well, I had my fill of that one. Where does it get me anyway?
Well, you know, he's a crisis actor anyway, right? So that's all that really matters. Just kind of like the 9/11 talk is, you know, the buildings didn't come down by themselves, right? You didn't come down by some planes or whatever, right?
I think it's close, but no cigar with that Bill Hicks one. I know they had the same manager, co-pilot, Kevin somebody, but.
Well, it was related, so. But, I don't know. I
have to say, Alex Jones got me down the 9/11 rabbit hole, so if.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here, so. There's that.
Oh, fair enough, yeah. I mean, there's almost, there's gatekeepers everywhere, and whether they know they're gatekeepers is another story, right?
Yes, that's true. I said that on Gemma's show. We don't. There are some people that are just wrong.
Yeah,
I don't think Frank is a gatekeeper, but I think he's just wrong.
And what do you think I'm wrong on, Tim? Do you think the Earth is a spinning ball?
The JFK, Jimmy. Oh,
so that now you must have seen. You must have seen Dave J's latest.
No, I missed it.
Well, it was great.
Well, he's done Frank a fantastic was right about. One thing that made me also like want to say hi that really impressed me, I don't know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you said something, this is a very important scientific kind of idea. When you said that if you take the math and you look at what engineers are doing.
Yeah.
And whether it's round or in one way or round in another way or flat on a disc, it's all the same math. It's all the same stuff. And then it's really, you know, if you want to know how magic works, because it's real, but it's real in this sense, it's real in that you consent to something beyond the veil. It doesn't matter what it is, but it comes with affirmation.
Yeah.
And then if you're stuck down, of course, the wrong path, we're compartmentalized.
Yeah.
So all you can say is, well, here's the math. And, you know, the flat earth thing, it puts you in a prison. But then so does the globe earth.
Yeah.
I think the
mathematical thing that you're talking about is it's in group theory.
Mm-hmm.
That both maps are effectively the same.
Yeah, it's just they're conformally just mapped to a sphere or to a flat plane. And it's that's basically all it is. A coordinate system. That's right.
That's right.
And
so that is the reason why they're able to do all these things, because as far as your coordinates are going, you just look at the coordinates. You haven't got the whole picture.
Yeah, they're both radial coordinate systems, and one of you know. But it's just again, you can conformally map anything.
Yeah,
that's how 100%. They solve wing stuff. They take a circle. They use complex variables analysis, conformally map it to the shape of the wing after. The solution of the circle, which is really easy mathematically to do.
Yeah.
And they do
optical lenses the same way. They're all different. Yeah. It's all just all arithmetic. Well, sorry, you should say group theory and projections of, you know, one-to-one projections from one coordinate system to another.
Right.
Yeah.
Dot product basically. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, it leads you to this idea of, you know, this walking, this fine line, and the, you know, what they say, maybe that's not the best one from there, but the fine line of actual reality is really what's at the edge of the tangible. And the rest is basically sin. to go where you don't really know, it gets you stuck there. And then there's a form of addiction to the affirmations, that because you want to save the time that you've utilized to get there. And of course, you know, you don't want to be hearing, oh, well, some different theory, because you got to backtrack. And you can kind of figure out all of the problems in the world. There's just a sense of affirmation addiction, affirmation of the beyond the veil.
Yeah.
So I don't hear people say things like you said. And that actually was the reason that I contacted you at your.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I appreciate that.
Frankandfakeologist.com. That's his email.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I can send you some crazy stuff. I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Frankandfakeologist.com. Lynn at fakeologist.com. Mr. E at fakeologist.com. We have a few forwarders. Frank, did you see the message in the Discord from D-Train? He has a question.
No, I didn't, but please go ahead. What is that?
It says, "Hi, Frank. Loving the show as usual. You said you were of the opinion that the stars were fallen angels. My question is this. If this is the case, what point is political opposition? These entities are supernatural. Do you think you can change their minds?" I think that's how did I read that right? Maybe you need.
Well, so I guess my view is that we are charged by God to resist evil, is the point I would make. And I'm making an assumption that the fallen stars are evil, of course. But I think some of the things they do are, if you like, a rejection of the Bible, the scripture, the instructions, the Ten Commandments. So I'm working on the assumption that evil is really to defy the Heavenly Father, because I simply don't know what evil is otherwise. But I personally observe that, you know, following the commandments of thou shalt not kill and honor thy mother and father and et cetera, those commandments, as far as I can tell, live to a fairly orderly life, whereas, you know, everything else seems to lead to chaos and the breakdown of our otherwise pleasant world. Because, you know, what I'm finding is that having established that nuclear weapons don't exist and that I don't need to fear disease and it's great to have salty food and get plenty of sunshine, I thrive. But obviously there is a, you know, what I'm told is the government, laughingly, seem to be doing everything they can to make my life unpleasant for no other reason than it just seems about what they want to do.
They get their jollies for making people...
Well, it's more than that. They obviously have a mission. They're almost like these things you hear of Catholic priests having those scourges that whack themselves to, you know, make sure they have enough pain.
Mm. Wow.
It is, when I'm, you know, and just enjoying myself at the karaoke bar, praising God by living a life, and, you know, I've got a beautiful day here, and you think about these guys that are making thousands of pages of legislation per day around the world, there must be, I don't know, like a page of new laws produced every second at the moment. None of them make any sense. None of them appear to be about me having fresh meat and raw milk that I can work out. Mm. And so I think the objective is to, as I said, oppose evil, but we can't do that unless we understand who they are, and the solution that we're given is that prayer protects us from those fallen stars, those fallen angels. If that answers the question.
Well, D-Train, I hope it does. That's a good answer. And if you want to talk to D-Train,
Dave J's response was that I live in hell and not the kingdom of God.
Okay.
Is
that maybe that's the reefer talking there?
Maybe, but I think that is Dave J's opinion. I guess I'm not of that opinion. I think we're being deluded that we're in hell.
Do you think that maybe we're just living in a compartmentalized version of the greater?
No, I think we are in the entire creation. I think we're in the in whatever all there is what's under the firmament and the seven heavens.
Interesting. The understanding of the greater. Well, I don't know. But what I do know is that my sight and views are compartmentalized. Yep. And that as you approach the greater thing, which is not meant for us to consume, requires a rejection of that which is not true. And so we have to basically not consent.
Yes.
To that which is not true.
Yes.
And what's left gives us an idea of how to walk on water.
Okay. I love that. It's a much better explanation than mine.
Wow, very good. Did we, Dingo, did we ask you how you found Fakeologist already? I'm sorry if we did.
I was perusing the bit shoots there, and I had the Jim Rizzoli channel, and then you had, one of your videos with him.
Okay, good.
And then there was, I think it was a Salty Frank one.
Right, okay, yeah, good.
And I really appreciated how you walk that line. That's one in 10,000 people. So, and you know, I'm not trying to blow smoke or whatever.
Did we walked a line with losing Jim or keeping
Salty,
him on the call?
Salty Frank, no. Salty Frank, when he explained the flat earth question.
Oh, okay.
Was exactly what I was trying to say. Like, if you say more than you know, you're bearing false witness. And it's a veil. And the thing is, we don't really know Jesus until we reject all of the sin. And the sin is that which is not true. So anyway, and most people don't answer the flat earth question like, hey, look, the math doesn't matter. And you said other people, when you present that, they can't seem to handle it. And man, you just explained my existence in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
They couldn't seem to handle just the, well, you see it, it's this way and that way. And they can't. They just can't do it. And it's, I've summed it up as realizing that we're addicts. And a lot of people can't just sort of strip away the sin and, you know, strip away that which is untrue and just say, well, you know, they're not walking the line of reality and what they're tangibly understanding. And so they'll accept all kinds of lies in order to get that.
Well, look, I guess I think I said this at the time you're hearing it, but I'll say it again for other listeners. You know, really, everybody, for all practical purposes, assumes that the earth is flat and unmoving. Right? That's what we assume. Most people are simply unable to break through the cognitive dissonance to accept that.
Yep. The gyroscope project or the spinning water project and the fact that they do, you know, high-end nonlinear dynamics calculations.
All of that stuff.
They can't break it back to say, well, this is just an analytical theory. It's very interesting. So it's a hot seat type of question. And if you're walking that, all of these illusions like, oh, you can breathe on somebody and kill them, it goes away. And, Jesus cured the lepers, you know, and you start to see how the Bible is true. It's quite, you know, but anyway, that specific statement, how you said that, that was what
Frank is one in 10,000. Frank is a one in 10,000 person. That's
one in 10,000 people will say something like that. Yeah.
Wow, Frank. That's
not like ask around.
That's a high compliment there, Frank.
Well, it just means you're weird.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, you know, it might mean we're just weird, right? But no, I think it's, it's really takes a lot of, it's difficult. Like we want to say that we know more than we do and we want to believe it, you know, and you'll go into these, Like if you talk about viruses, well, what's getting everyone sick then? And it's, they can't just back off to say, what's the basis for getting sick off of breathing somebody? And they, or off of breathing on somebody, and they can't just go right back to the scientific basis. And the scientific basis for flat Earth is the same as the scientific basis for this other thing. The calculations are the same. You're literally just doing a conformal mapping on a different structure, and that structure can look like whatever you want it to.
Yeah.
And I could prove it to you. We'll just conformally map it to some other thing, and the math will work out. And that's not necessarily the truth.
In all exploration, they map onto a cube.
It does, yeah. Yeah, they just a Cartesian coordinate system. And there you go. There's
But they actually map onto a cube. That way they overcome the problems with the globe.
Interesting. Interesting.
All right, I think you hear the music. Dave J likes the call, Dingo. I think you have a friend in Dave J, so...
Well, I like Dave J's comments too.
You better talk to him now before he reverses course on you.
All right. Well, hey, you keep.
I think you're being a bit harsh on Dave. On Dave J.
All right. I think he likes me for this 5 minutes of the day.
Well, I hope to talk again.
Well, Dingo, stay warm there in Edmonton. Wow, is it ever cold there? That's tough.
-40 tonight.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad to find another Canuck. We don't get many Canadians on this channel, so.
Well, don't tell anybody because we have these crazy laws here, and there's crazy people living here.
In Edmonton,
the laws are likely to be unenforceable, I'd have to say.
Well, you know, what it's all about what you consent to, right?
Yeah.
That's how it appears to be to me. Yeah.
Yep. So life is pretty good for me because of the unveiling. You
know? Congratulations. Wonderful.
Thank you, Dingo. Call back next time, anytime.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Take care, brother. Brother Dingo in Edmonton, Alberta. Don't forget to go to the main page, Fakeologist, just fakeologist.com. I put a few extra links on there. The YouTube link wasn't working. Thank you, Armand Rigg, for telling me that. I took the Facebook link off because I can't get on the Facebook, so I don't care about it. But Lynn Ertel hangs out over there. You can talk to her, but I'm not over there anymore. I give up. They win, but we have our own forums here. How much time can I? I'm running out of time in this life, so can't give Facebook my picture or ID or anything else. And then they just reject me anyway, so what the hell? We got some sub-blogs, EGI, All Shots Clutch, Shorts, and more app. I haven't linked to them in a long time. That's why nobody goes to them. So if you want more AB or some of my other stuff, subscribe and link to all these sub blogs here. I don't post all that often there. Most of it is on the blog up here in red, and I'm also in the forums, and I'm also posting on FakeoTube. Yeah, I don't know how I do it either, Frank, but I appreciate you complimenting me. And I was a guest on Gemma's show. I'll get Gemma on in a couple weeks. She wants to convert me to Catholicism. I'm not sure I can do that. I don't have an extra day in the week, but I'll just go to Frank for my religious counseling. He'll keep me. Him and the dog will keep me honest.
All right. Sayonara.
Thank you, Frank. Have a great week, and see you on the audio chat if you want to come on there. And thanks to everyone for joining in. Don't forget, this is value for value. You pay whatever you think this show is worth. Hopefully you think it's worth more than nothing. Even a dollar a month is better than nothing. And we have a lot of people here that we haven't even heard from in ages that are monthly donors. Thank you to Mark Tokarski, Government is a Joke, Gibby, Kirby Sexfert Lady, Greg, Ezza, Daniel, John, Mom with Sons, Harmon, Nick. You guys, all you regulars, please call in and give us an update and tell us how you're doing. And even the smaller donors, everything is wonderful and helpful. We really appreciate it. Thanks to Flatso, our newest member, for joining and giving a donation. We really appreciate you guys. You keep FakeoTube going, and it's really easy to donate. You don't need to even give your name. Just give your credit card. or your mother's credit card. Punch it in here, and it'll go through in under a minute. There's no signing up, nothing like that. And there's all kinds of other ways to donate. Well, it's the end of the week. It's already the end of the week. It's Thursday, and we'll be back probably on Sunday. Oh, yeah, we will be back Sunday with John, who is Ernst Zundel's videographer. Finally, I have a German that wants to talk about World War II and history. He said that the Germans are the absolute least likely to talk about all these kinds of things, and he'll tell me why. And I think it'll be a great show. He might be a regular. We'll see how he likes doing interviews, because he is the man behind the camera, not behind the mic. But we'll see. We had a good chat in person, in the flesh, last Sunday. So we're going to do that and see what we can come up with. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And thanks for all the caller-inners, all the chatters. Everything worked tonight. FakoTube, it's all good. Don't forget our bit shoot. Don't forget FakoTube. And talk to you next time.